What's going down, people? This is I Need a Mulligan. I'm TK Goldsmith. Let's talk sports. Let's drink booze. Who needs a second chance? You in? I'm in. Let's go. It's Friday. It's the fucking weekend, people. Man, I don't know how your guys' week has gone, but I am ready for the weekend. Show. We got the drinks pouring. So you know how we do right here on Morgan. Why wait? Let's get into it. It's Friday. What you drinking? I got Glenmorangie, a single malt scotch. I've drank Glenmorangie a couple different times on the show. I saw one that they have here in Minnesota. It's called a Chardonnay cask finish. And I was like, you know what? I'll give it a shot. It's pretty good. I don't know if I'll necessarily go and buy it again. But it does have a little bit of a cinnamon and vanilla flavor to it, I would say. It's a pretty good scotch. But again, like I said, I probably won't go buy it again. I like their sherry cask finish. They have another one. I think it's like maybe a Merlot cask finish. And then they got like a bourbon cask finish one. They have some other ones that are really good. They have just a straight Elgin classic that doesn't have any finish to it. That's pretty superb as well. So if you want to try something different, go ahead and check this one out. Like I said, it's got a little bit of a vanilla and cinnamony flavor to it. Definitely not like that Fireball, you know, but it definitely has a little bit of a flavor to it. So I'm going to go ahead and take a sip and we'll get this Friday party started, people. So as a lot of you know, we're on anchor.fm. You'll see the link and on a Facebook post or a Twitter tweet, and you can click on that. Now, you don't have to listen on Anchor. There's definitely some other places that you can go check it out. Click on other places that you can listen to the show. Click on that link. It'll take you to all the different places that we have the podcast. And, you know, check it out. Take a listen on wherever you like to listen to podcasts. Subscribe, rate, review. You know how you do. Get that social media game going. Like, comment, share on wherever you like to, you know, do that social media thing. First, before we get into the segments, I got a lot of cool things I want to talk about. Odell Beckham Jr., the Browns. I want to talk about Melvin Gordon and Zeke Elliott and their holdout. I want to talk about the Huskers, obviously. And then Le'Veon Bell might be in the moment of the podcast. Who knows? But before we get started with all those things, I just want to say first out, congratulations to Shane Lowry, who won the Open. I know it was a couple weeks ago. I haven't had a chance to get back on the mic. So I just wanted to say a quick congratulations to Sean Lowry. I think Shane Lowry, Sean Lowry. Fuck, I don't know what I'm doing. The scotch is already going straight to my melon, man. I need a mulligan. Rewind that shit. Bloop. Mr. Lowry, want to say congratulations for winning the Open. I mean, you couldn't have written a better story with him winning at Royal Portrush. You know, was back there again, like after 50 years, have a Northern Ireland guy, a native son, so to speak, win the Open at Royal Portrush was a pretty cool moment. I mean, it was kind of lackluster. There wasn't a lot of drama, but you couldn't have had a better guy win the golf tournament. And I guarantee that he partied like us mulligan guys would party after he won that Open. I guarantee it. Hey, let's get into some segments, man. Let's kick this thing off. Let's get the party started. Now that is a kick in the shorts. Yeah, it is. But I'm going to be okay. Yeah. There's a couple things I actually want to talk about here. Both are related to the Cleveland Browns. One, Odell Beckham Jr. He feels like he's getting a low blow, man. He feels like he's getting kicked in the shorts because he can't have fun. He's saying, hey, why can't I have fun? There's other guys out here and the media that are out chugging beers and doing all these fun things, and nobody gives them any hustle fussles. Everybody's all up in my business. Well, Odell, I got news for you, partner. You can do those things if you act a certain way. The whole reason why everybody is all up in your business, why everybody criticizes you, is because of the way that you act on the sidelines. Has nothing to do with your social media game. Has nothing to do with what you do outside of football. Has nothing to do with what you do on the actual field during the plays. It's what you do on the sidelines. It's your antics. It's the way that you are perceived in certain situations of the game outside of downs 1 through 3. When you're on the sideline and you're causing a ruckus and you're swearing and you're hitting your helmet on different things and you're throwing your helmet and you're making outlandish comments and you're throwing a fit basically on the sidelines, like, yeah, people are going to wonder what type of person you are off the field. And then when you do things off the field, they're going to be like, ooh, there's that personality. Ooh, that's what I'm talking about. Oh, you can't do that. It's all about the way that you conduct yourself when the camera is on. You have to understand that. Now, I have heard and I've seen a couple things this week when he does interviews and some other comments that other players are saying within the Browns organization that is a positive when it comes to Odell Beckham Jr. So hopefully he's turning the page here. Hopefully we can get past what he did in New York, because the temper tantrums that he had on the sidelines, that was a problem. And that's why you can't have fun outside of football, because of the way that you acted on the sidelines in New York. Now, hopefully that's changed. It sounds like it has. So far, so good out there in Browns camp. I mean, he's being a mentor to some of the younger kids on the team. Him and Baker Mayfield seem to be getting along. There's a lot of good things that are happening over there in Browns camp. And hopefully he's turned the page and he understands that you're in the limelight, you're going to get paid what you're getting paid, that, you know, you got to mind your P's and Q's at all time when you're on the football field. If you mind your P's and Q's on the football field, on the sideline, then you can do whatever you want to do in your spare time, man. No one's going to say shit. But you got to mind your P's and Q's on the sideline, brother. You can't have those temper tantrums, because you didn't see, and the person that you're talking about, Gronk, you didn't see him throwing any fits on the sideline. You didn't see him having his little temper tantrums. And there's a difference between what Odell Beckham Jr. was doing on the sideline than, let's say, like Tom Brady, if you want to go back to the Patriots organization. He's calling out his players on the sidelines. He's not just out by himself throwing his helmet at things and swearing with no one else is around. There's a difference, and you have to understand that. Jump off the high horse, whoop, and let's talk about the Browns as well, because I think there's a kick in the shorts. There's a low blow when it comes to the Browns organization right now, because the expectations are out the fucking roof for the Cleveland Browns, and I think it is a little premature, and I think it's a little bit of a kick in the shorts to that organization in general. I think they're going to be good in a couple years. I think there's a lot of pieces there right now that they all kind of have to mesh together, that there is no way that they're going to win their division based on the pieces that they have in place. And the fact that your quarterback is only in their second year, you have a relatively new head coach. I think he started like half the season last year, and now he takes the reins for a first full season. There's some switches and changes in the coaching staff. So to think that the Browns are a Super Bowl contender right now, I think is a little overrated. And I feel bad for the Browns organization because if they go 500 or a few games over 500, everybody right now is going to think that was a disappointment. When in reality, I don't think it's a disappointment. They're still learning. They're still trying to figure some things out, especially this year. Yeah, they got Odell. They still have a really good running back in Chubb. They got a decent offensive line. But there is still some learning curves there that I think are going to need to be figured out, and it's going to take at least a year or two to get where the expectations are right now. I could be full of shit. Hopefully I'm wrong. I think the Browns being good and relevant in football is going to be a great thing. I think it needs to happen. I think it'll elevate the things that we talk about throughout the season. I think it's a good thing for the league if the Browns are good. I just think the expectation is just way too high right now. What do you think? This is a good example, man. Leave a message in the show notes. Click on that voice message button. Let me know what you're thinking. If you think I'm full of shit, if you think it's a low blow, or what, man? I'm curious. I'm curious what you guys think. Hey, I'm going to take a sip of this Glenmorangie Chardonnay cask finish, and we'll get on to the head-scratcher moment. Yeah, I'm not going to get that one twice. Not going to get that one twice. It's pretty good, but I ain't getting it twice. You know what I mean. That's a head scratcher. Or is it? What do you think? Let's debate. Well, this is an interesting one because it's kind of twofold again, just like the kick in the shorts. But Melvin Gordon, Ezekiel Elliott, their holdout. I guess my question here, I guess the debate might be, which one do you think will get a deal done first? Now, there's been a couple things over the last few weeks that have come out that looks like neither one of them are going to get the deal that they're looking for with the actual team that they're on, which is fucking crazy to think about. But Melvin Gordon right now, he says that he wants to be traded. I guess the Chargers said that they'd pay him 1 year, $10 million, and then try to figure it out from there. He says, no thanks, I want to be traded. Zeke, shit, he's in fucking Cabo. He don't give a crap what's going on right now. He's living it up. But the Dallas Cowboys, the Jones guys, the dad and the son are basically playing hardball right now and saying, hey, we're not going to give you the type of money that you're looking for. So my question is, which one of these do you think is going to get done first? And my gut reaction is I think Melvin Gordon ends up getting traded somewhere before Zeke gets his contract that he's looking for. That's my thoughts. That's what I think. And the main reason why is because the Chargers, they don't actually need Melvin Gordon in order to be successful this year. They have a ton of weapons. Their defense is really good. They have other running backs that they're really comfortable with in that organization that can do what Melvin Gordon does on a regular basis. So for me, I think ship him out easy. Okay, we'll trade you. We'll see what we can get, and we can get some other pieces to the puzzle, and we can be really good this year. On the other hand, Zeke, it's kind of an interesting scenario for the Dallas Cowboys because right now, if they want to win this year, they need Zeke on the team, plain and simple. The way that that offense is built with the offensive line, Dak Prescott really likes to play off the play-action pass with Zeke in the game. The way that that team is built right now, if they want to win a championship this year, they have to have Zeke in the lineup. Now, I don't remember who it was, but there was somebody on ESPN that was talking about the Dallas Cowboys, and they are trying to get away from a Zeke-heavy or a run-heavy type of offense because that's what the league demands at this point in time. And it's true, but that's going to take a good year or two to accomplish because Dak just isn't the type of player that can sling it. He can't sling it. He can't put up video game type of numbers. He just can't at this point. Now, he is fully capable of doing that, and I think he has the skill set to be a really good or an elite quarterback in the league. But again, back to my point is that if they want to win right now, they need to figure out how to get Zeke paid. And from what it sounds like is they're trying to pay Dak first, figure out if they're going to pay Cooper second, and then figure out the Zeke thing. But the way that the Jones boys are talking about, the father and son again, sounds like they feel like they can win without Zeke, that they don't need him in the lineup, which I think they're dead wrong at this point, this year. Down the line, maybe not, but if they want to try to contend this year, they have to have Zeke in the lineup. So, again, a head-scratcher moment. We're debating. Which one do you think gets their deal done first? I'm curious to hear what you guys think. Leave me a message. Comment. Hell, leave me a voice message. I'd love to hear what you think. But for me, I think Melvin Gordon gets traded first before Zeke gets his money. What you thinking? What you thinking out there, people? I'm curious. There's a ton of controversy on this. There's a ton of people talking. There's a lot of people on both sides of the fence, and I'm curious to see what you think. So hit me up, people. Hit me up. Yeah, let's be honest. It's a love-hate relationship at times. That's why we all might be a little nuts. Where are my cornhead crazies? Okay, so Husker fans, I mean, is it football season yet? Besides saying, I need a fucking mulligan, rewind that shit. My second favorite saying on this show is it football season yet? Because there's nothing better than NCAA and NFL football. As a fan, as somebody that likes to talk on a sports show, I mean, there's nothing better. Husker football right now, I mean, we talked about the Browns' expectations earlier in the show. I mean, fuck, the expectations in Husker land is out the fucking roof right now. And I Scott Frost said it the best in his press conference yesterday. This team needs to earn it. A lot of people are putting them in the top 25. There's a lot of players on the team that are getting noticed for individual accolades, which is all fine and dandy. But the bottom line is this team has to go out there and earn it. And I agree with Scott Frost 100%. And I hope that the Husker crazies out there are on board with the same thing. Because I don't think the season's going to go exactly how we planned. Now, what I wanted to talk about today, though, is Derek Mills and Adrian Martinez. There was a Twitter poll that went out, and it was one of those, you know, bracket type things, like, oh, retweet for this team or retweet or like for this team. And it was the best quarterback running back duo in the NCAA, and it was Adrian Martinez and Derek Mills. And Adrian Martinez and Derek Mills obviously won because the Husker fans are fucking crazy. That's why this segment's called Cornhead Crazies. But I'm curious about Derek Mills. I'm curious to what you guys think about Derek Mills, because I don't know if everybody understands his backstory. Now, Adrian Martinez said a lot of great things about him in the Big Ten media days, said that he runs with a lot of vigor, I guess you could say. I mean, he runs downhill, and he's going to run over some people, and he's extremely physical. He's a big guy. He was successful at Georgia Tech, but we have to remember that he got kicked off the team. Now, there was no – well, there was some speculation of kind of what happened, but there was nothing ever really said about why he got kicked off the team. I don't know if he broke some rules. I don't know if he's doing things that he wasn't supposed to do. But the running back room is kind of an interesting room when it comes to the Husker football program. There's a couple guys. Well, there's one guy that's, you know, has some issues with the law right now out in California. Sounds like he probably won't get to play at the starting of the season. Derek Mills has had some issues with previous teams that he's been on. There's a lot of question marks when it comes to the running back situation at Nebraska. So Derek Mills, I mean, it sounds like he's going to be a great player. He's doing everything right. Hopefully he's got his shit straight. Now, Scott Frost and the way that he talks and the way that coaching staff talks, you would think that this would be the right environment for Derek Mills to come in and thrive, because everybody in that locker room, coaches and players, are going to hold these guys accountable. There's been some marijuana issues. There's been some other guys that have been in trouble with the law, and it sounds like they are nipping these things in the bud. And Coach Frost said it again in the press conference yesterday that almost everybody in that locker room is 100% bought in. Not every single person, because when you have a 150 person roster, I mean, when you have over 100 college kids in a locker room, chances are that there's going to be a few that aren't 100% bought in. They're just there to be there. And you're not going to get 100% bought in when it comes to those types of things. It's just not going to happen. But when it comes to Derek Mills and the success of this offense, I think Derek Mills has to be 100% bought in. I think he has to be held accountable. I think he has to not go back to whatever it was that got him kicked off at Georgia Tech. Now, if he doesn't win the starting job, and one of these freshmen do, or Maurice Washington decides that, or, you know, he ends up getting found not guilty or whatever the outcome is with his off-the-field issues, and he doesn't get the playing time that he wants, what type of guy are we going to see? Is he going to revert back to some of those things that he did back in Georgia Tech that got him kicked off the team, or is he going to be 100% bought into the culture that we have at Nebraska? So I'm curious to see how that works out. August, well, we're in the month that football starts, man. I mean, we're less than a month away to college football, and I could not be more excited, people. Go Huskers! Go Big Red! Curious to see how the season goes, man. Hopefully I'm dead wrong and we fucking 10 wins and we just kick it out of the park. But I'm still a little nervous, man. I'm still a little nervous. I'm not quite sure what to expect. You? Let me know. It's that time. It's the I Need a Mulligan moment of the podcast. So Le'Veon Bell, getting that second chance. Yes. I think it's smart. I mean, with everything that went on last year, I'm curious how this is going to work out. I really am. Le'Veon needed a second chance. He got his contract. I don't think he got the contract that he really wanted by holding out last year. Zeke, take note. Zeke, take note. You're probably going to get paid pretty well. Just take what they're going to give you and move on, especially if you want to stay in Dallas. I mean, maybe this is a reason why I didn't think about this earlier, but maybe Zeke wants to go somewhere else. Shit, who knows? But this is about Le'Veon Bell. It's not about Zeke. He wants a second chance. He's got it now in New York with the Jets. I like the things that he's coming out and saying. I really do. One thing that I heard him say today was he's never had a quarterback that was younger than him. So he hasn't had that opportunity to mentor someone else or see the quarterback grow, I think is exactly what he said. I've seen him grow, and it's kind of cool to see him grow because every other quarterback that I've had in any level that I've played, the quarterback has always been older than me. So this is kind of Le'Veon's chance to mentor somebody that's coming into the league. Yeah, it's his second year, but he's still, you know, he can kind of tell him like, oh, this is what's going to happen. This is how it's going to feel. This is what's going to, you know, when you have like some down times or some really good games or some bad games is basically what I was trying to say. I had to rewind that shit. Bloop. Le'Veon's going to be able to go to Darnold and say, hey, you had a bad game. This is what we need to do. I've been there, especially in the younger years. This is how I coped. This is how I handled it. Oh, I had a really good game. Okay, let's stay on that track. Let's not fall off that track. This is how I kept the momentum when I was in the same shoes that you're in as a young professional in the league. The one thing about this, and it probably could have been in the head-scratcher moment as well, was do you really think that the Jets are going to be a lot better this year than they were last year just by adding Le'Veon Bell? I mean, they've had some other people go and some other people come and things like that, but they went from 4 wins last year that I think out in Vegas, they have them at 7.5 games that they're going to win for the over and under. So they are basically three to four games better with Le'Veon Bell. What's your thoughts? I mean, I kind of am on the fence with that. I don't know if they're technically going to be that much better. Historically, second-year quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield, listen up, they don't do as well in their second season. And I don't know if the Jets are 3 to 4 games better. I mean, I wouldn't want to touch that thing with a 10-foot pole, to be honest. I wouldn't make that bet at all. Because I mean, I could see them winning maybe 6 or 7 games, but then, you know, any given Sunday, I mean, they could win 8 or 9. I don't think they're a playoff team yet. I think there's definitely some learning curves there. They got a brand new head coach that has to implement, you know, a new offense, a new defense. There's so many things working against them right now that there's no way that they're a 3.5 win better team. Does that make sense? Jiminy Christmas. That scotch is going straight to the melon. But I don't think it is. Now, Le'Veon seems to be doing the right things. We're all about second chances on I Need a Mulligan. I'm happy for him. He seems like right now during training camp, he seems like he's happy. He's back to playing football. He's excited about that. There's an energy about him right now that seems like he's really happy to be back playing football. He has a nice young core there, some good new coaches, and it seems like he's happy. We're all about second chances, baby. So Le'Veon, Go out there and get your thing, brother. Go out there and do it. Teach, mentor. Do what you do. All right, people. If you've been listening this far, I love you. Thanks again for always listening. And you know how we do right here on I Need a Mulligan. Peace out.